Zigzag, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hope everybody's doing all right. Good morning and welcome to today's BPW meeting. And before we start today's meeting, I'd like to recognize our treasurer, who have some comments about the late Senator Tommy Broadwater. So Mr. Treasurer, good morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Governor. And good morning and welcome to each and every one of you. I just wanted to take this opportunity to, commemorate, recognize the life, the legacy of former Senator Tommy Broadwater. Senator Broadwater was the first African-American senator from Prince George's County. Throughout his career, and certainly I never had the opportunity to serve with him, but his counsel to young politicians, aspiring politicians, and even seasoned politicians was invaluable in Prince George's County. I remember when I was first elected in 1994, I had spent, that past year running and, excited and being everywhere, doing everything. And then after I was elected, and after that sort of passed a little bit, the moment hit me, like, all right, now what I'm going to do. My mom had always told me, she said, Derek, one day that big mouth is going to get you in trouble. and then I thought about that. I was like, I kept saying I wanted to be in office. And now, I was on the doorstep of it. And what was I going to do? So a good friend of mine who knew Senator Broadwater well said, you need to go see Tommy. And I said, okay. So I grabbed my, made an appointment with him. I grabbed a notebook and pen and I went to see him, because I was ready to write down these heavy words of wisdom he was going to give me and what to do. And so I said, Senator Broadwater, I'm Derek Davis. I just won in the 25th, which was the adjacent district to his old district in 24. And I said, do you have any words for me? He was busy, doing his stuff. And then he stopped and he looked at me. I'm ready. And he said, Derek, don't be no punk. And I'm from Capitol Heights, and them fighting words. So at the time, I was like, okay, got it, thank you. At the time, I didn't know exactly what he meant. I mean, I knew what he meant, but not exactly. It wasn't until I got down here that I understood exactly what he was saying. You have to, work with others and, play the game, whatever, all those things. But at the end of the day, you still are sent down there to represent the people, and you don't compromise that. You don't compromise the people you're representing, and you fight with everything that you have. And so he may not have been as colorful with others as he was with me that day, but the senator, politicians, whether they're new delegates to Congressman Hoyer, I know that they've gone to him for his counsel, for his advice, and it's helped. I've heard other people mention similar tales and advice that they've gotten and so forth. And for those of you who didn't have the pleasure, I would invite you to go to Ebony Inn, get you some ribs and chicken. He was one of the best caterers. I used him for all of my events. Once I was able to afford Senator Broadwater. But he was an inspiration to a lot of us in Prince George's County, especially, African-American politicians, and he will certainly be missed. So, Governor, thank you for this opportunity. It would have been remiss of me if I could not say a few words about all that he's meant to Prince George's County.
Amen. Okay. Amen. And thank you for that, because it is a well-deserved tribute. And a beautiful one that you just gave. And it's true. I mean, he's a history-making figure. And one thing we all acknowledge, that there are some serious shoulders that for each and every one of us that we're standing on. And his shoulders are just some of them. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Thank you for that. And before I turn it over to the secretary, who's going to kick us off with the secretary's agenda, I want to take a quick moment to say you look a year older, sir. Actually, I should say a year ago. It's like Benjamin Button for you, actually. But happy birthday. We are grateful for you. We're thankful for you. And You know, it's funny. We have a rule in our office that people are not allowed to come into work on their birthdays. I respect you being here deeply, and because today should be a celebration of you. So happy birthday! Wonderful to see you, and please proceed.
Is there a better way to celebrate your birthday than at BPW?
Birthday.
Exactly. There are 13 items on the Secretary's agenda this morning and 4 reports of emergency procurements. Happy to assist with answering any questions.
Great. Thank you. We have one speaker request from the Water's Edge Museum over in Oxford in support of item 4, which will direct $1 million as an operating grant funding towards the organization. So Ms. Monica Davis, the executive director for the museum, is joining us. Ms. Davis, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's good to see you.
Thank you, Governor. Thank you for the time.
Morning.
Good morning, y'all. My name is Monica Davis. I'm the director of the Bailey Patches Museum, Middle Patches Market, and the Water's Edge Museum. I'm director of moral support today.
We all need that.
No.
I would like to have that. Looking for a job.
This funding will give us funding for operationals and also to hire new individuals to bring forward our mission. We are a wonderful. Please come. We are one of the museums on the Eastern Shore. Our museum celebrates African American history on the Eastern Shore, from Black ornaments, entrepreneurship, to the disembarkment of the enslaved. So please come to the Water's Edge Museum. You will be fascinated. Again, thank you for this opportunity. I think that the funds here will really cultivate young people and give a different reality of Black people who look like them and are doing things for the Eastern Shore and beyond. So I'm Governor Westmore. We welcome you to the museum. And
yes.
Thank you.
We are so happy to see you, and we are so grateful for the museum, for the leadership, for what you are bringing to not just Eastern Shore, but what you're bringing truly to the entire state. It's important that people know that when they see and understand their history and understand their culture, it means that they know that nothing in the future is impossible. Nothing. So thank you and bless you.
Thank you.
Are there any further discussion on the Secretary's agenda?
Nope.
Okay. May I have a motion to approve the agenda?
Move to approve the Secretary's agenda.
Outstanding. Is there a second?
Second.
Great. Thank you so much. The next up for DNR, Secretary Kurtz. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Good to see you. Comptroller. For the record, my name is Josh Kurtz. I'm the Secretary of the Department of Natural Resources. The Department has 8 items for your consideration today. Myself and staff are here. If you have any questions, we'd be happy to answer.
Wonderful. Thank you. May I have a motion to approve the agenda?
Move to approve.
Excellent. Is there a second?
Second.
Outstanding. Thank you so much. Thanks, Secretary. Next up, University System Maryland, Mr. Hickey, as always, good morning. Good to see you.
Governor, Mr. Treasurer, Madam Comptroller, Tom Hickey, representing University System of Maryland. There are 2 items for your consideration.
Are there any questions?
No questions.
Okay. Do I have a motion to approve?
Move to approve.
And is there a second?
Second.
Outstanding. Thank you so much, Ms. Dickey. Thank you. And we'll proceed with the MDOT agenda. Mr. Domsky, good morning. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
And before we proceed, I would actually like to call up an item. That's right, for item 20. 20 GM MOD, which represents a modification number 7 to the public-private partnership agreement, and that's for the Purple Line Transit Partners. The decisions and the circumstances around some of the delays that we've seen around the Purple Line, which have been heavily reported, and the major cost overruns that predate our administration, are known, but we wanted to spend some time, a little bit of time speaking about this. We are firmly committed to making sure we're getting this critical project back on track and also minimizing future delays and cost increases, because they have been real. But we are firmly committed to making sure that in this time and in this moment with this administration, we're going to get this right. And so while I share the frustration and frankly, the disappointment of my colleagues on this board, the partners in government, business and civic leaders, most importantly, I share the frustration of our residents. And I share the frustration of our taxpayers, people who have been waiting and have deserved better. That this item before the board today and this project, it is critical to the economic competitiveness of our state. And it's critical to the quality of life of millions of people in this state and the shared goals of actually expanding mass transit opportunities, and also doing it in a way that's also helping to address a climate crisis. This is important because it checks off a whole collection of different boxes. And so our administration will complete this project, but we will complete it in a fiscally responsible manner, while we're also ensuring that we are being fair and transparent with our project partners. And we will hold ourselves and our partners accountable for completing this project with a focus on transparency and with a focus on partnership. And so before I recognize my colleagues for their comments, I would also like to ask our MTA Administrator, Holly Arnold, if you wouldn't mind, Madam Administrator, to come up and discuss this modification, what exactly it means, and also the approach that we're taking to managing this project moving forward.
Governor.
Thank you.
So good morning, Governor Moore, Comptroller Learman, and Treasurer Davis. For the record, my name is Holly Arnold, Administrator of the Maryland Transit Administration. And with me this morning is Purple Line Project Director Ray Bays. We're here today to request a board approval of modification number 7 of the Purple Line P3 agreement, which would provide for an extension of the revenue service availability deadline from fall 2026 to spring 2027. Essentially, that's the opening date of the project. This modification also provides net compensation of approximately $148 million as interim relief for the delayed work that includes completion of utility work being undertaken by MTA. I'd like to start by briefly providing some background on the Purple Line project and the construction status. This project has seen some unique and uncommon challenges since the P3 was initially awarded in 2016 to our concessionaire, Purple Line Transit Partners. Shortly after the project was awarded, in October of 2016, environmental approval was revoked, causing initial delays to the project. Then in late 2019, the private design builder under the P3 left the project, and in 2020, MTA took on several contracts to continue the work. In 2022, MTA and PLCP brought on a new design build contractor, Maryland Transit Solutions, or MTS, and signed an updated P3 agreement. The work that MTA took on in 2020 when the prior design builder left has taken longer than expected to complete. It is currently ongoing with expected completion this fall. Additionally, MTS has experienced some issues due to the national workforce shortage, supply chain issues, and high inflation. That said, MTS has significantly intensified its construction activities across the alignment, with nearly 700 construction workers at 60 active construction sites across the entire line. Just a few examples of some major activities include the Bethesda Station, where workers are currently excavating a vertical 130-foot elevator shaft before starting construction on connecting to Metro WMATA Red Line Metro platform. Light rail vehicles continue to be assembled in Elmira, New York. Currently, we have 26 of the 28 light rail vehicles complete, and the final two are being built, and we expect delivery of those in early next year. And at the Paul S. Sarbanes Transit Center in Silver Spring, crews have completed the concrete platform for the new Silver or the Purple Line station. They're now building the platform and other utility chases as work progresses. Crews have started work on the mezzanine that will better connect the Metro platform to the Transit Center, creating that real connection between the Metro Red Line, the commuter rail, the Purple Line, and the mini bus services that use the Transit Center. The Purple Line is a complex transportation project. It requires coordination of stakeholders throughout the region. All of us at MTA understand the impact that the prolonged construction creates for residents and businesses along the project's alignment. Projects of this magnitude can be disruptive, but the entire team is going to continue work on minimizing those disruptions wherever it is. Our team is working daily with MTS to identify opportunities to advance the schedule of the project and mitigate any future delays. I want to thank our partners throughout the region for their patience and support throughout this process. And we're going to continue to work through the challenges to deliver this critical transit project. The promise of the project is more than just a seamlessly, it is a more seamlessly transit-connected region, better designed to serve residents. More transit means better access for everyone, fewer cars on the road, lower emissions, and more opportunity for economic. It's a critical project for the future of the region, and one over numerous opportunities for the state. This modification will better position our team to deliver the project that the region deserves. So thank you for the opportunity to speak today. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you so much, Madam Administrator. And honestly, I know this project has been incredibly challenging, but your leadership throughout has just been stalwart. So I just want to say thank you. Thank you to Secretary Wiedefeld as well for leadership. I mean, getting this right means getting into the details. And getting this right means taking this personally. And so we are very much committed to doing that to get to completion. And we're thankful for the leadership you provided. Before I should turn over to my colleagues as well for comments, I would also just like to acknowledge the withdrawing of two items from Mr. Dobsky. I just wanted to make a note of the withdrawal before I turn to my colleagues. So.
Thank you. For the record, I'm Valerie Dobsky, Chief Procurement Officer for the Department of Transportation. Today we are presenting 19 items for your consideration. At this time, we are withdrawing items 9A and 21. And I will be seeking approval to award 4 ME and 6 SBR firms valued at approximately $3.5 million. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Madam Comptroller,
turn it to you. Sure. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Governor. Thank you, Ms. Radomski. And thank you, Administrator Arnold, for all of your work. I think most people in this room know, an enthusiastic public transit supporter, founder of the Transit Caucus in the General Assembly. And yet today, I'm only reluctantly supporting this item because at this point, our hands are really tied. And I think this is a little bit like a tip of an iceberg. All of the problems, this little tip that's coming up, this $148 million modification, it's just the tip because what all the problems that have happened before it are underwater and we don't see them right now. But it's really years of failures by the previous administration that have led us to this point. This is a critical transportation project that is years behind schedule and is nearly $4 billion over budget. And at this point, it's been a bad deal for Maryland taxpayers. From the earliest days when the previous governor insisted on restructuring the deal for the supposed purpose of saving money, that has been a penny-wise and pound-foolish decision. And I also think that the Purple Line is a textbook case of why long-term transportation P3s can be so dangerous to taxpayers. At the end of the day, if there's a disagreement or if the numbers no longer work for the private partner, it can just walk away. But we're still here. Right? The taxpayers are still here. The people have construction cones in their yards are still here. And there's nothing the state can do to stop it. And it's just the taxpayers and residents who suffer. And of course, MDOT doesn't have the capacity to then jump in and quickly take over because our state agency workforces have been decimated. And there's been a big impact at MDOT as well. And I think that's a big contributing factor to why we're here today, because as Administrator Arnold said, when the previous contractor stepped out, MDOT came in and said, okay, we'll keep going with this utility work, but they weren't able to do it. They couldn't get the job done on time because of their depleted workforce and issues that were facing them. And so I think, you know, this is just an illustration of some of the huge challenges that the current administration is facing in transportation because of mismanagement over previous years. You may not say that, but I will say it. I lived through it as a member of the General Assembly. So, you know, and I think today's modification also just shows that we need to do better for taxpayers. So I really appreciate the leadership of the new Secretary of Administrator Arnold and our new the Purple Line Administrator and over person who's overseeing it as well. So I sincerely hope that the valuable lessons have been learned to ensure that these types of delays and costs end. I think we're all done with additional delays and more modifications for the Purple Line. So I want to thank the administrator and the team for talking me through this and letting me know where we are. Also want to thank them for discussion about what this amazing project will eventually mean to the people of Maryland and what it will actually look like. Right? This is part of the MTA system. Right? The Purple Line, the Penn Line, the Brunswick Line, the Camden Line, these are all part of the MTA system, our transit agency. So all the signage and the work that needs to be done, we're going to make sure that it has to all be in tune so that when you're approaching and you're getting on an MTA line, you know that it is run by our state government and we can be proud of that. So just thank you to all of you for your leadership and your work. And I look forward to continuing to partner with you on it. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Madam Comptroller. Sure. Very well said. Thank you. Thank you. Are there any other items for discussion on MDOT's agenda? Do I have a motion to approve?
Move to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
Great. Thank you so much, Wisconsin. Thank you. Thank you. And we will conclude with the DGS agenda. Secretary Charger, good morning.
Morning, sir. Good morning, Mr. Governor, Madam Comptroller, Mr. Treasurer. For the record, I'm the Chief Charger, Secretary of the Maryland Department of General Services. Today, the department is presenting 31 items on our agenda. We are withdrawing one item. It is 23SOPG. And our agenda does feature over $10 million in capital grants and loans. I did want to highlight just a couple of those. I did want to highlight item 4CGL. It provides $4 million in state support to the Baltimore City Department of Public Works for a new transfer station small hauler site in East Baltimore. This project will reduce costs for transport and waste to disposal sites, including reducing the number of vehicles traveling to and from disposal sites. I also want to highlight item 7CGL, which provides $100,000 in support of directors of Alpha Genesis Community Development Corporation in Dorchester County to support the construction of the Harriet Tubman Pavilion. This will complement the Harriet Tubman mural in Cambridge. This project is in partnership between Alpha Genesis and the City of Cambridge to create a multi-purpose outdoor pavilion encompassing the nationally acclaimed Harriet Tubman mural. The development plan also includes space for concerts and festivals and a replica of Harriet Tubman's father, Ben Ross's cabin, which is just very recently discovered in 2021 by the State Highway Administration's archaeology team. And lastly, I wanted to highlight item 8CGL, which includes $1.2 million in state support to the Shepherd Pratt Health System for a new residential crisis services center in Baltimore City. This project will develop an innovative 16-bed diversion program for individuals with severe mental illness. And the new crisis center will prioritize referrals from emergency departments and inpatient units at participating hospitals. And it's projected to save the state up to $2 million per year in emergency room and inpatient hospital visits. As we monitor MBE contracts and MBE awards, this particular agenda does include two contracts and new awards for MBE prime contractors, totally $1.2 million. We've got HC representatives here, and we're happy to answer any questions you may have.
Great. Thank you so much. And some fantastic items. Thank you so much. Is there any discussion on the DGS agenda?
I have just one item. I just want to call attention to item 21 for the Seed School. This is a request from the State Department of Education to exercise a five-year renewal option on the contract with the Seed School Foundation to operate a residential boarding education program for $97.9 million. The Seed School is fantastic. Since 2007, they've proudly educated hundreds of at-risk youths in grades 6 through 12 from throughout Maryland on its campus in Baltimore City. And so I just want to start by commending the incredible work that the Seed School does with providing its 400 students educational opportunities. I have incredible respect and appreciation for Mr. Sykes, the head of the Seed School. I just want to point out, I do have some concerns with the contract that MSDE has created. It seems to have unlimited, undefined renewal options and a low MBE goal. And I'm concerned about whether this is the appropriate vehicle to fund the Seed School moving forward. At the end of this extension, the contract will have been in place for 21 years. So I think that we have to absolutely make sure that the Seed School continues. But I would just ask that MSDE and our partners in the legislature and the Seed School leadership can consider a different way of funding this rather than through a procurement process so that it can continue to do its important work. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you. Treasurer. Thank you so much. Thank you. I echo the comments on both the great work that's taken place at the Seed School and the leadership that Seed School has continued to provide. And knowing that how to make sure that it can be a sustainable, equitable, and transparent way of continuing forward is gonna be really important. So thank you. With that, is there a motion to approve the agenda?
Move to approve.
And is there a second?
Second.
All right. Oh yeah, absolutely. So we've now voted second. Ms. Treasurer, I'd like to turn it over to you, sir.
Thank you. We did vote, right? Okay. Listen. Is there anything else on the agenda, Governor?
No.
All right. Then before we exit, look, I've been going back and forth about whether or not I should say something, but and it, look, I see all of y'all looking. It's not that heavy. I'm not dying. But one thing that is concerning to me, and that's what's going on, or lack thereof, between the Stadium Authority and the Baltimore Orioles. There's been a lot of conversation over the past couple of years. We're not talking about building a new stadium or anything like that. If there's something going on, we need to know. That there's too much foot dragging on this. And I think the longer, what I've learned in 30 years is the longer nothing's been said, the longer it takes. I'm saying this for the explicit purpose so it gets out there and folks have to start answering what's taking so long. You know, we went through a lot of lean years the past half decade, and now that things are going well, I want to know what's going on. A significant investment has been made on behalf of the state, and I'm not saying it's anybody's fault because I honestly don't know, but it's time. It's time, and folks need to be called out on it. So I'm hoping all the good people back there with the cameras and the pads bring this up. I want to put pressure on the Stadium Authority, on the Baltimore Orioles, and I'm hoping that in 2 weeks we can come and bring this up for a vote. I know we aren't, but it's time we start putting timelines out there and say, get this damn thing done. They owe it to the state, the taxpayers, and this foot dragging has got to stop. So forgive me for ending the meeting this way. I've been going back and forth over the last 24, 48 hours. You know, I know the governor's working hard to make this happen, but the principals, they have to do so as well. And it can't just drag on indefinitely. If somebody's being unreasonable, we need to know. But this thing needs to come to a head. So I'm hoping that with these remarks, at least folks have to start answering and not just making, we're making progress or whatever. Now that time's done. So thank you, Governor.
Oh, thank you.
You're here.
Let's go. You just never know what side of the bed I'm going to wake up on.
Well, that is an excellent way to conclude today's Board of Public Works meeting. Next meeting will be of the board will be on August 2nd. Once again, happy birthday, and I hope you get to enjoy the rest of the day. So thank you so much.